Hey, this is Leslie.
This is Brock.
And this is Genevieve. Thanks for joining us for the second episode of Las Vegas Weekly's Second Helping Podcast. Las Vegas Weekly has been covering local food and restaurants in the pages of our magazine and at lasvegasweekly.com for more than 20 years. And now we're bringing you something new, another way to keep the culinary conversation going every month with Second Helping. We hope you caught our July debut, but if you missed it, check it out at the Las Vegas Weekly YouTube page or at iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And you'll definitely want to subscribe to Second Helping on one or all of those platforms so you never miss another episode ever again.
The staff here is feeling pretty good right now because we just wrapped up the biggest issue of the year. Las Vegas Weekly's annual Best of Vegas edition came out on July 25th. As usual, honoring all the newest and greatest restaurants, bars, clubs, entertainers, venues, athletes, personalities, and cultural stuff all across the Vegas Valley. The food category is traditionally the biggest and most talked about, and probably the section readers pay the most attention to, because everyone wants to run down the list of award-winning restaurants and figure out which places they'll eat at next. And we like to talk about it too, especially because this year's winners definitely skewed more toward off-the-strip offerings. Leslie, what was one of your favorite local restaurants that won a cool award in the Best of Vegas this year?
One of my favorites was Gaucho's Sacred Flavors. It's brand new, and it's also at one of my favorite local venues called The Bunkhouse. And it's just a great place to grab a bite before a show. The Bunkhouse is known for, you know, hosting a bunch of little indie concerts. And so you can pull up there on their really cute patio, get things like crispy smashed potatoes, which come loaded with goat cheese and chimichurri. They have ceviche. They have street tacos. And you can even get a full meal with like carnitas and plantains and black beans. Basically, they have everything on this menu. So yeah, that's one of my favorites.
That sounds really good. I haven't got to try it yet, but I need to get down there. One of the guys that opened that place is a old friend of mine from the food truck days, Ricardo Guerrera, who started sliding through many years ago. So I'm excited to go down and see what he's up to lately. The award that it won was Best New Concert Bite, which is cool. I don't know if readers like it or don't like it that the names of the awards that we come up with every year, it's not just like Best Italian Restaurant. It's always something a little bit more specific, which I like to do because I don't like to say what the Best Italian Restaurant is, and I don't know if you can choose a best burger or whatever. There's so much great stuff. So we like to be a little bit more creative with our awards categories and a little bit more specific. Another one that you helped choose, Leslie, that I really loved was the Best Taste of New York, which was Sedel's, which is on this trip at Bellagio. But that's another place that I still haven't gone to eat yet. I can't believe
Wait, you haven't been there?
No.
Have you been to the one in New York?
No.
Okay, what? Well, I haven't been to the one in New York either, but from knowing from people who have, Spencer Patterson, our editor-in-chief, has been there. It is apparently the real deal, and it's awesome. They have lox and bagels that are just super, super fresh. And one of my favorite things, even though this doesn't have to do with the food per se, is just the ambiance. I kind of feel like you're eating in like the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's. Everything has that like really cute, like Tiffany blue color going on, and the staff is really, really nice. But yeah, the food, it's a great lunch and breakfast spot. And they have a dessert cart that they'll roll around. I think they stop service in like the mid-afternoon, so get there early so you can snag something off that dessert cart.
I think maybe the favorite, the staff's pick for the best category name is Best Pasta Hug, which went to Factory Kitchen. Yet another place I haven't been to yet, believe it or not. But Genevieve, I think that you're a big fan of Factory Kitchen at the Venetian, right?
I am. It's actually, Factory Kitchen is one of the places that I really love as far as Italian food. And I will make the trip to the Strip to go have this dish. It's called the Mandilli di Seta. What it is basically al dente sheets of pasta with a pesto almond sauce, and it really is like eating like clouds. It is so light and so delicious, and the flavor is really subtle but so satisfying, and it's really hard to describe how good this dish is. So you just have to go to the Venetian and check it out for yourself. It comes in this beautiful, like, green hue, and it's so inviting and so earthy, but so delicious. Have you had it, Leslie?
I have had it. It is amazing. It is like eating, I don't know, like, yeah, a cloud. It's so velvety. And it is a subtle flavor, but it's also really cheesy from mm-hmm, what I remember. Mm-hmm. And I almost thought, I was like, wait, am I eating layers of cheese? Because the pasta is like, the texture is that soft and decadent that I was almost confused for a moment. It's really unique. I've never had anything like it. So yeah, that's definitely.
Me either. I agree.
It's definitely one of the best dishes I've had that, this year.
There's a lot of new Italian restaurants on the Strip and off the Strip that opened in the past year or so. It was kind of difficult to choose which ones would get certain awards, but another one, Genevieve, that you helped pick, and this is a really important award in terms of people looking for places to go, the best new date spot.
Oh, you definitely have to check out Vetri Cucina at the Palms. It's Mark Vetri's restaurant at the Palms. He's from Philadelphia. He's won a ton of awards. But one of the things, when you walk into Vetri Cucina, the view is stunning. You go up 56 floors, and it's all windows, floor to ceiling, and you have the valley before you. It's just gorgeous. But beyond the view, the food is outstanding. Everything is made in-house. All the pasta, everything is made there. It's just exceptional. And it's definitely, if you want to impress somebody, take them there.
That's the place that used to be Nove, right? At the Palms?
No, it used to be Alizé.
Oh, that's
Alizé,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a classic Vegas spot.
Yeah. You know,
beyond the view, just the environment overall is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so many new restaurants opened at the Palms, it's kind of hard to keep track of which ones you haven't been to yet, but that's definitely at the top of the list, Vetri. Leslie, what other local picks were you really excited about this year?
This one I think is pretty unique, and it's Rue's Vegan Kitchen. It is a, how do I describe it, like a pop-up stand. It's not really a food truck per se, but it travels around to different farmers markets. It's at a lot of like outdoor concerts, things like that. It's just a local venture by this entrepreneur named Rue, and she makes everything. I believe she's from of Lebanese descent, and so she makes everything from scratch, kind of riffing off of recipes from her family. But she's, you know, a vegetarian, so instead of a lamb gyro, she makes a vegan lamb gyro. And most vegan meats kind of tend to, they're not my favorite thing. Let me put it that way. And I used to be vegan.
Being very diplomatic.
Yeah. but they just hit it out of the ballpark. And everything is healthy. I think she just, she explains on her website, what the ingredients are made of. And I think it's like fava beans or something is like the main protein source. And yet she makes these proteins that have a great mouthfeel, the flavor is delicious, and then, for example, like the chimichurri steak tacos are just really, really extraordinary. And it's not that you necessarily think you're eating steak, but it gets pretty close, closer than anything that I've tried. So anytime I see that truck out or that stand out, I make sure to eat there. So that's definitely one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the mark of a good vegetarian or vegan restaurant is that it's not trying to recreate anything. It's just satisfying in a different way. And if you are an omnivore like me and you can eat there and still be satisfied, then you're going to keep coming back. Another place that falls under that category is Pots, which we actually talked about a little bit on the first episode of Second Helping. favorite of yours, Genevieve, and of Diana's, who was one of our guest subjects for the first episode. That won the award for Best Healthy Carb Load, which is a pretty creative name also.
Well, Diana was actually, who runs Vegan's Baby, our number one vegan website and resource in this town. She actually took me to POTS for my first time, and it's fantastic. You would never, ever, ever think to, like, miss meat in this place. They have this dish called koshari, which is Egyptian street food, and it has pasta. It has, like, a tomato sauce. It's got, I believe they're garbanzo beans. The flavors in this dish are amazing. They just work together really well. And yes, it is with the pasta. It is carb heavy, but I'm happy to eat all the carbs for the day at this place because it's delicious.
All of these awards were staff choices. We all got together, had a big lunch, kicked around different ideas about who we wanted to award this year, the food we wanted to single out. But, of course, Best of Vegas also includes the Reader's Choice Awards, and a lot of those go to the same places every year. Like, for example, In-N-Out continues to win Best Burger Joint. I don't know if it can be stopped ever. But one Reader's Choice Award that took me by surprise a little bit this year was for Best Pizzeria. Pizza Rock has won that award, I think, for the last 5 years, almost as long or as long as it's been in Las Vegas. And this year we got a new pizza champ, and it's Evil Pie, also a downtown pizzeria right on Fremont East. I'm a big fan of Evil Pie. Again, hard to say best pizza. That's something I would never want to single anything out. Evil Pie is definitely deserving. What I love about Evil Pie is kind of the whole experience. It's definitely that place that you want to go to and get a slice and a beer. There's great people watching, of course, on Fremont East. And it just feels like maybe it was transplanted from another city. And yet it also feels like it's distinctly Las Vegas. Are you shocked to see that Evil Pie took the pizza prize this year?
Actually, I wasn't. And while we can't definitively say, you know, give the award for the best pizza because there's so many pizza places, I don't know if you've tried the gluten-free crust at Evil Pie. It's amazing. It's delicious, right?
Yes.
It's, you know, that's definitely one of the pies that I would order from there. You don't miss the regular crust at all. I'm not surprised that this place won this award from the readers because they do have a really great menu, like really unusual type of toppings too.
Yeah, they have snake on their pizza. Right. And I mean, Brandon Powers in general is just so good at like conveying a concept. He also owns Golden Tiki. And I feel like when he first said he was going to do Evil Pie and he was telling me about it, I mean, he executed it so well. Like you said, Brock, it kind of feels like it's from a different city and yet still so Vegas. And I'm sure we've all ended up there, you know, in the wee hours of the night after having a few too many. And that pizza just totally levels you out. And yeah, it's really great. And also, because I just tend to cover music a lot, I wanted to also add that they have punk shows in the backyard. And it totally adds just like a whole nother element to what they've got going on. So I was really stoked to see that on there.
Yeah, not very many places you can get punk and a slice.
Mm-hmm. Right. They have it all.
I think that's a wrap for Best of Vegas 2019, and that means it's time to start your lists if you haven't already. Best of Vegas 2020, start writing it down now.
I've already started.
Many of this year's awards went to some of the newer restaurants across the Vegas Valley, and it seems like something different and interesting is opening up every week. Genevieve took a trip to Chinatown to check out one of the newest sushi spots in Las Vegas.
If you haven't been to Chinatown lately, the most exciting thing happening there right now is the new Shanghai Plaza, with restaurants opening up just about every week now. The one I've been looking forward to is Kura Sushi, a conveyor belt sushi concept
that is extremely popular in Asia with more than 400 locations, I think. This is the first one in Las Vegas, and it occupies a corner space in the new plaza right off Spring Mountain Road. Kura Sushi delivers its food in little covered containers called Mr. Fresh. It's super high-tech and cool, and the food itself is great, but it's really all about the whole experience. In addition to the conveyor belt, you can order just about everything on the menu via touchscreen, and a separate conveyor belt shoots out your order to your table. Definitely check out Kura Sushi for a unique dining experience. The food is great, and the high-tech delivery system is a lot of fun. And while so much of your dining experience here is mostly automated, there are servers to help guide you throughout your meal. Here's our server, Austin, explaining the process to us in our first visit.
So what I have in my hand right here is Mr. Fresh. He is basically the contraption on the conveyor belt. So when you are grabbing plates from Mr. Fresh, just make sure you lift gently and grab the plate just like so. So you're going to lift and pull gently. Okay. Do you want to give it a try?
Sure.
Yeah.
We can get it to pull.
So you don't lift the plate, yeah, just to break the plate. Okay.
When you are grabbing plates, just make sure you lift and pull, because if you do try to pull from the lid, it will not go well. Okay? Just letting you guys know.
Okay.
Right? So all items on the conveyor belt will be $2.50 each. Okay. You can either grab or order from the pad, as you see right here. If you do end up missing something that you would like on the conveyor belt, you can go ahead and order from the pad as well, as we do have all the items on there, okay? So all items on the pad are $2.50 as well, unless priced otherwise on the top right-hand corner. So when you are finished eating your plates, just make sure they are empty, and you will only insert the green and red plates into that plate slot, as you see right there. So it does keep track of your plates. So once you hit 5, you get a little cartoon on the screen. Once you hit 15, you get a prize from the Big Group. Okay? If you ever need help throughout the meal, go ahead and press the green help button, and a server will assist you.
Okay.
If you ever need any modifications to any ramen or any rolls, I'll let the chef know. Just go ahead and press the green help button as well.
Do you put wasabi in all your sushi?
No, we do not. We actually have it for you on the side,
okay,
in this little container. Yeah, so everything's on the side. Yeah, no wasabi on any of the rolls. Yeah.
How many different items are there total?
Total, I would say perhaps around 20, over 20.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure, because we do add like some chef's message as well.
Mm.
Sometimes, so it goes anywhere from 20 to 30 rolls.
Okay.
All right. So when you are finished eating, just go ahead and press that red checkout button, and we will bring you the check. Okay. Any questions so far?
No. Nope. Can't wait to try it. Thank you.
Okay, so far we've tried a bunch of different little plates of sushi. One of our favorites is this one called a Kura roll, which has salmon on top. I'm not sure what's inside, but it's really, really good. It's kind of cool when you order something off the menu. There's a different conveyor belt on top that basically shoots out your order onto your table, which is really cool. What else did you have? Did you like?
I don't know what they were all called. I like
the summer salad is really good. It has cucumber and watermelon. And we ordered a special order of ramen, a bowl of tonkatsu ramen, which was delicious. And that's it so far.
Kura Sushi is a franchise that's expanding in the U.S. It also has locations in California, Texas, Georgia, and Illinois. The first Vegas location is at 4258 Spring Mountain Road, Suite 108. And you can find it online at KuraUSA.com.
I also stopped into a new restaurant in July, and it's kind of an unlikely tale. Chefs Jeffrey Weiss and Paras Shah moved across country to launch a quick-serve Spanish restaurant called Valencian Gold, where they're making paella for the people. The guys met in Spain nearly a decade ago while they were on a culinary scholarship to study Spanish cuisine. Shah has worked at Michelin-starred restaurants like El Bulli, and Weiss trained under the paella master himself, Jose Andres. The chefs recently opened Valencian Gold in July, so I went over to chat with the guys about their journey and how they brought a taste of Spain to Las Vegas.
We were very fortunate. We were in 2009, 2010. We were the two Americans who won this really incredible scholarship the Spanish government put on.
Oh, wow.
It was young cooks from all over the world. We were the two American representatives. Mm-hmm. We met over there and had some shenanigans and good times.
Yeah.
But I cooked in Toledo and I cooked in Marbella, and then in between the two I went to the countryside and I had a background butcher in charcuterie, and I wrote that crazy giant little tome over there.
Oh, awesome.
And then Parash, he was in... So he was in Madrid and I was in Toledo, so we had the same days off, so I'd go up there every weekend and we'd have a good time.
Party it up.
Yep. I know nothing. We went to church every day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, lady. But then in the north, he went to Rioja and he was at this two Michelin star restaurant where they're famous in Spain for their coquetas. And it's this little village up in the north in the mountains where it's like 17 people and a goat and Parras. He hates when I say that. But like there's this little grandma who it's her and her, she just passed away recently, but it's her and her son. They run this two Michelin star restaurant. He runs the fancy molecular side and all that. And she runs the comelon, right? The traditional.
They have two sides. One's Portal de Chauren, which is the more avant-garde kind of cuisine, and then the other side is the tradicional, which is more of the old, you know, family favorites, the stews, the big cuts of meat, croquetas.
And the croquetas.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they go ahead and you know, a lot of people in Spain would make a special trip to go to a Chauren to just have their croquetas.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of paying homage to that by using a similar recipe here.
That's awesome. When did you come out here?
About a year ago.
Yep.
Here's
a funny story. We looked all over California where I'm from. We looked a number of cities.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
We came here and first, you know, our friends are like, come to Vegas. Here's some friends. We're like, we don't want to be on this. The strip isn't right. Like,
right.
No. Go off strip. Off strip? What's that? And we found this amazing community. And for me, it's important, the feeling of the area and whether the business will fit, but the community and the people. And I think Vegas and New Orleans are like the two most hospitality community-oriented cities in America, definitely not the world. Like, I feel in New Orleans, you can't throw a rock down the street and bounce off five people who all work in the business.
Right.
Same here.
Yep. Totally.
And it's awesome.
Like, yeah.
We love that. And we love the community of how can I help you? Oh, you're opening this cool Spanish thing. What do you need? What can we do for you? We want to come support you. That doesn't happen everywhere.
Yeah, it's actually been really amazing, the support that we've been getting from, like, the local community. Even outside of just, like, the industry itself, but just the people that we talk to about what we're doing, they're like, holy crap, that sounds cool, cool. You know, why don't, you know, I'd love to help you out however way you want to, you know, to help us out. And it's been amazing.
One of the things I like about Valencian Gold is that it takes the typically expensive, laborious process of making paella and makes it affordable and accessible. It's one of the first restaurants of its kind, which is really cool considering you typically can only get paella in Spain or in Spanish restaurants, many of which are high-end like Haleo.
I'm looking up above on the menu. Step one is all about that base,
yep.
Which is homage to Meghan Trainor, is it not? All right. So what are my base options?
So your base options, we have four different paella bases.
Okay.
The first one is the chicken one. All right. So it is a chicken base with salmora, which is the flavoring, kind of like a sofrito.
Okay.
All right, but it's tomatoes, pimentón, a little secret spice, saffron, olive oil, garlic, etc.
Paella comes with the word patella.
Mm-hmm.
It means like a kneecap, and it's a little pan they would carry. And back comes the Italians had the. It comes from an Italian pan. It's called the patella. They carry it around. They go to the field. What do they have? There are rabbits. There are snails. So the traditional paella valenciana is a derivative of rabbit and snail paella. But, as Tony explained to us, sometimes rabbit isn't in season, so chicken is acceptable, duck is acceptable, even sometimes pork is acceptable. And so we said, okay, I don't know that, maybe we're trying to do paella for the people, and rabbit and snails isn't necessarily an everyday
right.
thing, so we base this one on chicken.
Cool, yep. Okay.
And then so after that, you do have the seafood,
mm-hmm.
where it's a base of calamari,
mm-hmm.
And then you also have cannellini beans in there. And then you also have a vegetarian vegan option, which is the mushroom and chickpea paella with chickpea mushrooms, chickpeas, and you also have French beans in there as well.
Okay.
Because in paella, you usually have two types of beans. One's a shelled beans, one's a French bean. And, you know, those form kind of, it's a complete meal at that point
mm-hmm.
because you're getting the protein from the beans, you're getting the vitamins and everything from the fresh beans, as well as you're getting the starches in your rice. So you're getting a complete meal to work on those fields and keep pushing forward.
If you've been to hummus, bowls, and wraps in Henderson, Valencian Gold really reminds me of that. There are so many toppings and bases that at first it seems a little overwhelming, but I think the key to it is knowing that you can't really mess it up. Between the different bases, proteins, toppings, and dips, the flavors all just kind of meld together into this giant bowl of textures where every bite is different but equally delicious.
So you have broccoli dip, which is a charred broccoli manchego and parmesan. It's
delicious. Oh my
god. Delicious.
Yeah, I want some of that.
You want that
sure.
one?
Yeah.
Next to that is the romesco that I mentioned.
Okay.
And below that is the feta and piquillo pepper dip. Next to that is the roasted eggplant dip. It's eggplant and yogurt, similar to a baba ganoush,
right.
This is your lemon garlic alioli, which is a traditional topping. And then for those vegans who don't want, who want an alioli but don't want the eggs and the mayonnaise base, this is a tahini and black garlic alioli.
Ooh. Oh my god, they all sound so good.
We can do all of them.
You know what? Yeah, can I?
Sure.
I might as well try them all.
I can't talk about Valencian Gold without mentioning the ham and cheese croquetas, which are a traditional snack in Spain. You can hear me go nuts over them in this next segment.
How like molten hot are
these? At this point, careful.
Okay.
It's almost like one of those soup dumplings.
It's been sitting.
Right. It's been sitting, yeah. We should be good. Yep. Those are so good. Oh my god.
Yep.
It's great. It's so like.
It's creamy.
Creamy,
it's
savory.
This is a national dish in Spain, right?
Yeah.
You gotta fight over who has the best one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they fight each other because then they're like, my grandmother makes the best one, and I make the best one.
We can go on and on for hours and days and months and years on end about the different regions of Spain and, you know, what they mean to us. Because since we've been back here 10 years ago now, we've been back to Spain at least 10 times. You know, we would go back, and the folks that we worked with are our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the people in Rioja, they mean a hell of a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
The people in Madrid, one of our best friends in the entire world, Saul, like, this guy...
He's our tour guide.
He was our tour guide for our scholarship.
Oh, wow.
But he also became, like, our brother.
Yeah,
like,
10 years later.
Yeah, 10 years later. We can always call him up, bust his balls, but also just call him up and ask him for advice or see how his son Alex is doing and, you know, see how his wife Almudena is doing. And, like, whenever we go back over there, we never miss a beat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the awesome part about it. And, you know, you ask the question, are we Spanish? Not technically, but in our soul we are.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm 97% New Yorker, right? But I'm 3% Spanish, without question.
You can find more info about Valencian Gold at valenciangold.com or taste the paella for yourself at the Southwest location, 7960 South Rainbow Boulevard. I really dig how much heart and soul Paras and Jeffrey pour into their food at Valencian Gold, and that same passion similarly reflected in another local business that Las Vegas Weekly staff writer Cindy Moon Reed recently visited.
I wanted to explore a dessert that would go well with the summer heat, so I visited one of my favorite gelato shops in town, Gelato di Milano on Tropicana and Rainbow. It's owned by a father-son team direct from Milan, Italy.
My name is Franco Patti. I owner for Gelato Store. You know? I make gelato fresh every day. You know? Franco, Italiano, fa gelato fresco tutti i giorni. Grazie a tutti.
And what is your favorite gelato flavor?
Ah, I like the fruit.
Which fruit?
Strawberry, cocoa, mango, lemon. Sometimes I make lemon with basil.
Basil. And how do you say those in Italian?
Limone basilico.
It sounds so much better in Italian.
My name is Gianluca. I'm Franco's son. I run the business together with him. And we've been doing this for now for like a year and 7 months. And it's going great. The summertime is the perfect time. It is a perfect excuse to try a new place for gelato, you know.
And do you have any flavor recommendations for the summertime?
Summertime, people like more the fruit, you know, it's more refreshing, but there's everything, like we said, everything here is the best. So you can also refresh yourself with vanilla, cheesecake, with berries. We have a very, very good pistachio and hazelnut. Coffee flavor is very good. Cappuccino, the fruits, very different fruits. Also depends on the seasonal fruit that is going, you know. Now it's very fire, the melon, cantaloupes, the watermelon, the pineapple. The fruits here are all fresh fruit. We cut the fruit, you know, the lemons, we squeeze the lemons. Everything is definitely done in a different way than other. It's made from scratch and not any places, I think, do it like we do it, you know. So, it's a real Italian deal.
And how do you make gelato? How does that work? Like, what's the step-by-step process?
We just have our own recipe, you know. We get the milk, we pasteurize it. And after the pasteurization, we just mix it together with the flavor that we want to make. So the chocolate, you know, is mixed with the chocolate syrup that we make. Everything is, we have our own recipe for each flavor, quantity of sugar we have to put in, you know. And we just put it inside the machine. After we put it inside the machine, it takes like 7 minutes to make a batch. So after 7 minutes, we make it and have it ready in the freezer, you know, and ready to serve it in the display for our wonderful customer.
And where did you get your recipes from?
So we have like grandpas in the family, you know, that have the my grandpa from my dad's side had an own gelato before. He used to do that as a hobby, you know, and then he passed it to us, and we opened the first gelato store. My dad opened it 19 years ago. He's still in Italy. And now we have partners over there, you know, which helped us a lot to come here. Definitely we chose Vegas because I looked up where the best school for hotel management was, and it was UNLV. So I decided to move here. And after that, my dad decided to open gelato business here because it wasn't a very good one, you know, a very Italian, where he showed a little bit of Italy inside Vegas, you know. That's why we came here.
You said that you import some of the materials from Italy.
Yeah,
what do you import?
So we import like many kind of sugars. We make the syrups that we make are made with some of them are products that are here already. Some of the products we bring from Italy, like sugars, like milk powders, you know. And we also bring the Greek pistachio. Greek, we don't have Sicilian, we have the Greek, which is the best in the world. Roasted pistachio, roasted hazelnuts as well. So we have chocolate and pistachio pastes that come from Italy.
Is there any gelato that are harder to make than others?
Yes, of course. We make the Vegas Golden Nights, which is a graham cracker cookie. And we have to, when we put it inside the batch, we have to put just a little bit, put cookies and then a little bit more and then some cookies and then a little bit more and cookies, you know. So when you like scoop it, you know, just don't get the cookies on top and the rest is gelato, you know. You get cookies in the middle of the gelato, you know. So it's a little bit of a harder work, you know. Also the stracciatella, the chocolate dips inside the faces of the gelato, the cookies, everything is.
Do you eat gelato every day?
We do eat it every day, but it's like small cups, small samples, you know. We don't exaggerate, you know.
For people that don't maybe know exactly what gelato is, how is it different
gelato
from ice cream?
It's just a better product than ice cream, you know. If you're looking for a better quality than ice cream, gelato is the deal, you know. I mean, everybody likes to drive a Ford, you know, but what if you drive a better car, you know? Everybody wants to, you know. You're happy with the Ford, you just want to maybe like sometimes upgrade.
In case that wasn't specific enough, I looked to the Michelin Guide to sort out the differences between American ice cream and Italian gelato. Turns out, it's all about the amount of air in the dessert. Gelato has less air than ice cream. This leads gelato to have a thicker texture than ice cream with more concentrated flavors. And because I interviewed John Luca and his dad on location at their gelato shop, that noise you're about to hear is the sound of the freezers keeping the gelato cool on a scorching hot Vegas day.
What's the difference between sorbet and gelato?
Just milk. So one doesn't contain milk and the other contains milk.
Okay.
So gelato is made in milk, with milk, pasteurized milk. While the sorbets are made out of water. So instead of you putting the milk, you put water.
And then, so basically like sorbet would then be like water, sugar, and fruit?
Yes, exactly. That's what it is.
And that's it?
That's it.
It's that simple?
Just that simple. It looks simple, but it's, you know, you gotta know the quantity. You have to study the recipe, you know, to make it very smooth and flavoring, you know, tasty, creamy, you know. Our fruits are very creamy, even not having milk, you know, just having water.
Well, I guess figure skating looks simple when you watch somebody else do it.
Exactly. But then when you do it, it's a little harder.
On the day I visited, I sampled three pretty traditional Italian flavors, lemon, tiramisu, and pistachio. The lemon sorbet was definitely the most refreshing for a hot day, but they were all super delicious. Don't take my word for it, though. I reached out to Chef Gina Marinelli to find out what makes this creamy treat so special. She sources gelato from Gelato di Milano at La Strega, the hot new Italian restaurant in Summerlin.
Basically, after I tried it once, it took me right back to Italy, and I knew with my capabilities, I could never make something that great. So best thing to do, like we do as Italians, we source out the best ingredients. And that's what I did with Franco and his program. And I get more compliments on gelato than my food sometimes. It's a little hurtful, but it's good. So I'm just proud to carry his product, and I'm proud that he can make it for us.
What do you like about it?
I think it's the texture, number one, is incredible. I think his flavors are, he goes very simple, and then he'll get very creative, which I think is great. But it's the texture. It's soft. It does taste like you're back in Italy.
Could you speak to the importance of gelato to Italian cuisine?
Absolutely. I think it's got to be at the right temperature. It's got to be the right texture. Not too sweet, not icy. And I think you have to source great ingredients to make that gelato. You know, you'll notice the different colors in pistachio gelato here versus what we see over there. And Franco is really doing it properly, you know, and that's what makes it spectacular.
So that's it for my brief gelato journey. I'll let Franco and Gianluca send us off with a little message in Italian.
Ah, buon gelato a tutti.
Buon gelato a tutti. Venire a Gelato di Milano. Venite a Gelato di Milano. A conoscere gelato. Buon.
This episode of Second Helping is also supported by Westgate Las Vegas. If you haven't been back to the Westgate in a while, it's definitely time to return because this classic casino property has updated its entertainment and dining offerings, and you may be missing out. I recently had Jen Kramer as a guest on the All the Vegas podcast. She is amazing. She's the only female magician headlining at any Vegas property right now. Her show's at the Westgate Cabaret. And the Las Vegas Weekly team recently visited Ricky Tikki Sushi in the Benihana Village to shoot a video all about its $28.88 all-you-can-eat sushi deal, which is definitely worth a visit. You can check that out on Las Vegas Weekly's YouTube channel. Of course, you might know the Westgate as the home of the Superbook, and it's already getting ready for football season with the return of the Ultimate Football Handicapping Challenge. This is how it works. The contestant who earns the most points for the entire pro football season will be declared the champion and collect at least $1 million. This year, the top 100 contestants will be paid, and entries are being accepted now through September 7th. Get down to the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook or find more details at westgatelasvegas.com. Westgate Super Contest, where champions are made. We also want to give one more shout out and a message of congratulations to Diana Edelman. Genevieve spoke with Diana in our first episode about the Las Vegas vegan dinner at the James Beard House last month, and the event in New York City was so successful. Diana and her curated team of Vegas chefs are going to recreate the dinner on August 21st at Catch, one of the newest restaurants at the Aria Resort on the Strip. You can find tickets to the dinner on Eventbrite, and you can get more info at vegansbaby.com. Now we're going to start a new tradition for Second Helping. We're going to wrap up the episode with one simple question. What's the best thing you ate this month? And I'm going to start, actually, because I kind of cheated this month. As previously mentioned, the whole Las Vegas Weekly staff went to lunch to discuss and debate this year's Best of Vegas Awards. And we went to Border Grill at Mandalay Bay, and I had the torta ahogada, which is one of my favorite sandwiches on the planet. It originated in Guadalajara, and basically it's a roasted pork sandwich that's drowned in this light, spicy chili de arbol salsa. Border Grill makes its version with pork cheeks and adds caramelized onions, pickled jalapenos, and a cilantro radish salad. It's huge, and it's really, really rich, and it was so good that I went back this month and got it again. And I probably shouldn't have done that. And I feel a little bad about it now. Genevieve, what was the best thing you ate this month?
Well, it was a very good month, but the highlight has to be I tried out the newly debuted Endless Italian Brunch at Lavo in the Venetian. And I had a whole branzino that was quite delicious. It's actually part of the brunch, but there's an upcharge. The brunch itself is $49.99. Everything is really good, but I wanted something prepared from the kitchen and simply made because everything was so rich at the brunch. I had, you know, the fettuccine with lobster and truffle. So I kind of wanted a nice counterbalance to that. So I got the whole branzino, which is baked simply with olive oil, capers, and served with a panzanella salad, which was delicious, for an extra $5, which I think is a great bargain. You get a whole fish, so you have to kind of prepare for it a little bit. But it definitely is a good counterpoint to everything else that you eat at the Endless brunch.
That's a good move, because everything is super over the top at Lavo. So
yes, there's a chocolate fountain, for crying out loud. It's delicious, though. Everything was delicious. But definitely check out the right side of the menu for the brunch, because everything on the right side is just a little bit of an upcharge, including that 1 pound meatball, which is, you know, if you haven't tried it, you have to go try it. So Leslie, how about you? What was the best thing you ate this month?
Well, besides Valencian Gold, which I am obviously a huge fan of now, I have to say the brand new Water Grill in the old Spago spot at Forum Shops is my favorite restaurant I ate at in July. They have this really amazing Chilean sea bass, and it's just drenched in butter and then pan-seared on top. So it has this decadent brown and crispy crust, almost like a glass. And I think it's rare that a whitefish tastes that rich. And then they pair it with this savory butternut squash and Parmesan gnocchi. It's a really heavy and hearty meal, but it's something I couldn't stop thinking about for at least a week. I also stopped by Emerald's New Orleans Fish House. And honestly, I was blown away by their prime flat iron. It's $36. It's affordable considering it's at MGM. And at 10 ounces, it's big enough to split. And then they also have a New Orleans pecan pie and a bread and butter bread pudding, and both of those are totally out of this world.
I love Emerald's Fish House at MGM. That's one of my all-time favorite restaurants on the Strip, and it's been there for so long that people might not be on the radar anymore, but it's so good.
Right.
Still.
Yeah, it's consistently good, and I think they just celebrated a huge milestone as well. So, yeah, definitely worth checking out if you haven't been.
That's going to do it for this episode of Second Helping. We want to thank the whole team at Las Vegas Weekly Magazine and the digital staff at Greenspun Media Group. We also want to thank our friends at Westgate Las Vegas for their support. And, of course, let's recognize the great Las Vegas musician and artist Sonia Barcelona for lending her song Violent Water to our show. You can hear and see more from Sonia at artofsonia.com. Please subscribe to Second Helping at Las Vegas Weekly's YouTube page and at Apple Podcasts. And if you like what you hear, tap some stars for us and give us a quick review. It'll really help spread the word about Second Helping, and we greatly appreciate it. We hope you come back for September's episode. Thanks for listening.